Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1427, air date April 17th, 2024.
All right, everyone. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever people are. We're going to have a discussion today about the three stooges of Zionism, Trump, Biden, and Booby effing Kennedy. I've talked about this, but we're going to be interviewed by Kevin Patton to go a little more deeper into this and what we're doing with our campaign. And that's what we're going to be talking about. All right, everyone, this is Dr. Shiva Idre. Today, we're going to be having a discussion about the three stooges of Zionism, Biden, Trump, and Booby Kennedy. I would say that this election, you know, I'm not a proponent of making everything a single issue, but 2024 is about a single issue. It's about Zionism. And I'm the only candidate who is running, who has voiced his views and his policies against Zionism, which is anti-American people. So let's go over, Kevin, who's been watching our campaign from Arizona, and he's a writer, and he's going to do the interview here. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yes, well, it's nice to talk to you, Dr. Shiva. So there I was here, I think 2 months ago, going into my gym in Mesa, Arizona, and I came across two very polite ladies who were tabling outside of my gym, and they're trying to collect signatures to get you onto the ballot. So my first question would be, how is your campaign going?
Let me ask you, have you ever seen Biden or Trump or Booby effing Kennedy's people collecting signatures?
I have not. I see a lot in Arizona, there's enough Trump supporters, but outside actually collecting signatures, I can't say that I have.
Yeah, so our volunteers actually do work, Kevin. It's very, very important to understand that. But mm-hmm. Let me, I've been a serious student of politics and systems and medicine, all sorts of things for most of my life. To me, they're all interconnected. They come down to the nature of system science. But our campaign is unique because what it's doing is it's bringing a fundamental element to world politics that's never existed before. Mm-hmm. And that element is the fact that we understand the system dynamics of how the swarm, as I call them, if you watch my video, Shatter the Swarm, how the multiracial aristocracy of a distributed, decentralized group of people who work very closely together have no interest in the 8 billion of us. And our movement educates people that you have the obvious establishment and the not so obvious establishment, that the three stooges I just mentioned, Trump, Biden. And it is very, very important to articulate vociferously and with great vitriol against these people. And that's what our movement is doing. That element in politics has not existed. Perhaps it's come in a little blips throughout human history, which is not just exposing the obvious establishment, the obvious fascists, but more importantly, the not so obvious establishment, the sheep in wolf's clothing. Sorry, the wolf in sheep's clothing, right? And that and because people do not uncompromisingly expose those elements, that is why the world continues to suffer. Let me repeat that again. The not so obvious establishment, the wolves in sheep's clothing, are the real enemy of people because they are created by the obvious establishment to manipulate people back into the swarm. And in this election here, we have many of those people because I'm running and the Movement for Truth, Freedom, Health exists. They know we figured them out. But most importantly, Kevin, my run for president gives people a very, very clear choice. And that choice is between one of us versus one of them, anti-Zionist versus a Zionist. All three of these guys are Zionist hoodlums. And Zionism is racism in the service of imperialism. It does not serve America. In fact, it's funny, I saw John Bolton do a tweet. He goes, America must serve its allies, right? Israel is our ally. We must defend it at no cost. Well, when they use the word America, they're talking about the U.S. imperialist regime.
Mm-hmm.
They're not talking about the American working people. And Zionism doesn't care about the American working people. Trump is pro-Zionist. He's anti-American. Bobby Kennedy is pro-Zionist. He's anti-American. You know, and same with Biden and same with Tulsi Gabbard and same with all these freaking anti-American people, individuals. And that's why they continue to survive, because they do not serve the working people of this country. I'm the only one who comes from working class people. None of these guys ever worked a day in their lives. Go look at their lives. Ask yourself what Bobby Kennedy has ever done for work. He's never worked a day in his life.
He would say that he was an environmental lawyer who had a lot of time on the ground representing people.
Yeah. Oh, is that true? I can say a lot of things. I can say, oh, I'm a, you know, blah, 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 blah. I'm an astronaut. Well, you got to go look at what he did. Mm-hmm. What he's actually done was he was a heroin addict who came from a organized crime family, and he was positioned. And this is what the Kennedys do. They're all about PR. He was repositioned because they need to always think the Kennedys are the ones who are going to run the world. He was repositioned as an environmental lawyer, as his quote unquote community service, but he actually took over an existing women's organization.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Same thing, wherever he goes, he knows nothing about medicine, nothing about, you know, the real dangers of vaccine. He was backed by a guy called Mark Blaxall, who comes from Big Pharma. One has to understand that the swarm creates these fake heroes, and it anoints them, and it shoves them down people's throat. And that is the purpose of Bobby Kennedy. And you can look at specifically a couple of very, very important things. You know, we had a very, very good volunteer who worked with his organization, who left it after he realized all these contradictions.
As Children's Health Defense?
Yeah. And one of the offshoots called Autism. It's the organization about autism. Okay. And what's important to understand is that, you know, there's a video you can find on rfkexpose.com where he says, I believe in full vaccination of all Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And then he proceeds. This is the forked tongue model. This is what the club. See, the Bush or Reagan will say, I'm going to just blow you up. We don't care. Okay. The liberal imperialists are a lot more clever. They make you feel good as you're being screwed. Okay. So they speak with forked tongue. I believe in full vaccination of all Americans. Okay. And then he proceeds in that video to lambast the CDC as a corrupt organization. Then he says he's going to get them to create, quote unquote, safe vaccines. You follow? So speaking with forked tongue.
If I could ventriloquize RFK for a quick second, I think the problem with RFK is that he's trying to build bridges out of balsa wood, and he's trying to please everybody by saying, I'm for full vaccination. At the same time, though, Dr. Shiva, just to play devil's advocate, his children's health...
No. But that's not true, Kevin. That's not what he's trying to do. That's giving him a benefit of the doubt.
Well, his Children's Health Defense has published a good many books that a lot of us in the vaccine critical movements have really appreciated.
It's not about vaccines or not vaccines, Kevin. This is what you're missing. Mm-hmm. You know, when I came, you're looking at someone who's actually studied the immune system for 20 years. The reality is it's about resilience of the immune system. And what these people do is they create always a dialectic of every issue. The fundamental issue is that the American, let me show you this graph here. I don't know if you've seen it. Mm-hmm. And it's a very, very important graph to look at very carefully. Let me bring it up. But specifically, you can go read my other works on this scumbag, okay? Because this is not about devil's advocacy. This guy is part of the deep state. And that's what needs to be understood. Let me show you this, for example, all right? If you look right here, if you go to our website, when we launched our campaign, it's very, very important to take a systems view, because it's very easy to get lost in these dialectics. I don't know if you've seen this flyer. You may have gotten it from our people. Did you see? Have you seen this, Kevin?
I scrolled through it on your website.
Yeah. So if you look at this, what do you see in this flyer? This was put out, by the way, Kaiser Permanente. This issue of the American health system going downward goes all the way back to the policies that were instituted in the 1960s and 70s. You see this curvature is going down?
Yeah.
And this is not because of the vaccine or not the vaccine. And as it says, since the 1980s, the policies of the swarm have destroyed Americans' life expectancy. If you have a child today, your child is going to be living a shorter lifespan than you. The rest of the world will follow the same pattern. Every child on the planet is headed to a shorter lifespan than their parents. This is by design what happens when we vote for the quote unquote. And by the way, our slogan is declare your independence. Kennedy sends us people. He literally copies our stuff. Okay. We need a systems overhaul. Now, if you look at this graph, Kevin, and you go back to the history of this entire quote unquote vaccine, not vaccine, the 1962 Vaccination Act, you know who implemented that, right? Who signed off on that?
I'm sorry. It was the 19, which law was that?
Okay. The law that started all of this, the vaccine mandates.
I'm unaware. From what I understand, the vaccine court was signed into law by Reagan.
Right, that's where Booby Kennedy's people manipulate people. You have to go look, you know, nearly 22 years before that. Sorry, 24 years. The 1962 Kennedy Vaccination Act. John Kennedy is the one who passed the 1962 Kennedy Vaccination Act. That act was based on a 1915 model of the immune system. And if you go look at 2019, 2020, we did probably about 50 educational videos on this. Children's Health Defense Fund has not done that. They're about pro-vax, anti-vax, pro-vax, anti-vax. Give me money. Give me money. The fundamental issue is you have to look at the immune system. You know, 30 years ago, if you looked at cancer research and you looked at immunology research and you looked at anti-aging research, typically all of these three research areas were done by, like, if you went to all the conferences and you were an immunologist, Kevin, you'd go to the immunology conference or the cancer conference. Over the last 15 years, with the development of a field called systems immunology, they have one conference right now because they realize the immune system is a key to all of this. The immune system affects your health, every subsystem of your body. It's like the operating system. Now, in 1915, the notion of the immune system was based on this two-box model. You can go see some videos on this. I've done about 50 videos on this, and this really helped people during the pandemic. In March of 2020, I was the first guy to call out the pandemic. You know, Kennedy, Trump, all were supporting lockdowns, and you can see that on their Twitter feeds. But why was I able to do that? Because as a scientist, as an engineer who studies the immune system, in 1915, they literally had just a two-box model of the immune system. And that two-box model was you have the adaptive immune system and the innate immune system. And this two-box model comes from 1915, Kevin, which says that if I sneeze on you, Kevin, your initial immune system or part of your immune system is called your innate immune system. And it's like a bunch of Marines who just shoot everywhere, okay? Neutrophils, you know, all these different kinds of immune actors. And after that fails, if it fails, right, and doesn't take out the virus or the antigen, whatever you want to call it, then your adaptive immune system kicks in, and that creates what we call a antibody, okay? And that creates memory. But this two-model system was all that had existed since 1915. So 1962, when they passed the 1962 Vaccination Act, Kennedy signed it into law, which created all these corrupt government entities, which created a opportunity for pharma to make just money doing vaccines all day, all right? That was signed by John Kennedy. And what that did was that law was just based on a 1915 model of the immune system. The reality is, you know, my work that I presented at the National Science Foundation, given major lectures, it was the body of my PhD work, is that the immune system just doesn't have these two systems. It's got the interferon system, which is a very powerful middle system. It's got the microbiome in your gut, the virome. It's got the gut-brain axis. So all of these subsystems, Kevin, are extremely important to the whole nature of the immune system. So by 1962 to 1986, 24 years, people were getting injured. There was vaccine injuries. And it was Ted Kennedy, another Kennedy, who killed a woman here in Massachusetts, who got away with it. The Kennedy seemed to be able to do any crime and be able to get away with it. So no one should be giving them a pass. No one gave you a pass. No one gave me a pass in life. But we keep to think the Kennedys are some martyrs. We should give them passes. Well, anyway, his father got him off that. And it was Ted Kennedy who was a co-sponsor on the Senate side of the vaccine injury program. Sounds very cool, right? Vaccine injury program. What was it actually? It indemnified all the big pharma guys.
Yeah.
And that was done by a second Kennedy. So then Booby Kennedy shows up on the scene and Children's Health Defense Fund, okay, which is absolutely fine bombing the shit out of Palestinians, which is absolutely fine destroying children over there. And these contradictions are right in our face. And what does Booby do? Booby was backed by a guy called Mark Blaxall. And you can go study him, okay? And they initially infiltrated a previous organization and they said, oh, Mercury and the autism thing. If you go look at that, okay, Mercury and autism. And that was sort of their dramatic foray into this, but it all became about vax and anti-vax, vax and anti-vax. And then, so when Booby gets into the scene, that video that was shared with me, which is fascinating. You have to go to an archive on Wayback Machine to even find that video, the original video. Mm-hmm. I believe in full vaccination of all Americans. I am pro-vaccine. I'm absolutely pro-vaccine. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem is people give a lot of sympathy to the Kennedys. And that's a brainwashing that's occurred in this country. Joe Kennedy was a master at public relations. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Kennedys spend all their money on. So the fundamental issue in health is when you look at that graph, and this is taking a systems approach to this, what you see in this graph is, Kevin, it's not any one thing that's resulted in this, okay? It's been a system of policies, okay, over the last how many ever years, okay? 60 years, 70 years, right? One of the policies that I talk about is the NIH and the NSF after the Mansfield Amendment came together under the executive branch. Science research used to be where if you were a good scientist, Kevin, in the 40s, you just got money and you could do great research, basic research. After 1970, after the passage of the Mansfield Amendment, science research has become very corrupt. Mm-hmm. It's all about who gets the money. All the academic institutions are corrupt. That's one example. The second thing is a massive income inequality that's taken place in this country. Since 1970 till today, there's no mass movements anymore. And this is something very fundamental. Trump, Booby, Biden, they don't want us to build mass movements bottoms up. They don't want a guy like me who comes from below building a mass movement. They want to make it from above. And this is a fundamental difference. The Kennedys are going to save us, Camelot, right? Or Trump, he speaks for the white working class. Or they have an array of these, quote, fake heroes that they create. And the fundamental reason is they do not want us to build a bottoms-up movement. So since 1900 to 1970, you'll find that the American working class in this country used to do massive, massive demonstrations. Nearly 250 million people participated in about 11,000 strikes. Mm-hmm. And after those trade unions were taken over top-down by the Democrats, and then their legs were cut off by the Republicans, calling them all, quote-unquote, Russian communists, between 1970 till today, and the Iran report came out beautifully showing all the math on this, nearly $47 trillion in wages of the first and second income quartile has gone upward. So we today, between 1970 till today, there's not any more mass movements, Kevin. There's only been 2 million people in about 900 strikes. So the academic world created an entire ethos that we should no longer have bottoms up movements. They created the Kennedys and the Bernie Sanders, another fool. Okay. They created the Trump. And this dynamic is what needs to be understood. Otherwise, people are going to think you don't have to do anything. You know, you don't have to get on the ground and do anything.
Well, I would dare say there would be at least a couple people who would say, I was part of the Occupy movement. I was part of the Ron Paul movement. I was a libertarian, and that was very much grassroots. That's kind of how I got my foray into politics, was being part of the Occupy movement, being a Ron Paul libertarian, part of the Occupy movement back in 2011.
Those are all very different trends, by the way. You know,
they're not grassroots movements.
No, what I'm saying is they're very different trends. So let's look at that. You know, I've been part of these bottoms up movements on the ground since I was 17 years old. So if you look at Ron Paul, let's take Occupy, very different and libertarian. Okay. Yeah. They're three very different flavors.
They coincided though perfectly though.
Occupy movement, I saw what they did. You know, they were run by liberal imperialists, a lot of them. Okay. Now, Ron Paul, if you have to take each one of those, and we can do a political analysis on each one. Libertarianism is fascinating, okay? Because libertarianism at a ground level, these movements are sort of inaccurate because they don't take a systems approach. The concept of systems theory, Kevin, really didn't come into being until the 1950s. Mm. What systems theory gives us is a foundational way to look at politics. And you can't blame these people. It's just their theoretical framework is based on a weak theory. Okay. So libertarianism at a fundamental level still believes that somehow capitalism over time can be tamed. That's fundamentally where it comes from. Mm. It does not believe in the imperial nature of capitalism, that these systems undergo different types of transitions. It has sort of a gleeful view of capitalism. Well, not the early stages of capitalism, but more the advanced stages mm-hmm. of imperialism, of monopoly capitalism, and the consolidation of power. So on the one hand, classical liberalism had some very nice ideas, but it still believed in this concept of a social contract, right? That government in some way should be loose, you know, less government, and somehow we're going to sort of ameliorate all these contradictions between people who have who are able to exploit the system for their benefit and the other 8 billion people. But the reality is the libertarians, you know, we've had a bunch of the libertarians involved in our movement. They're saying, wow, we're missing that huge piece of what's called a self-organizing system and understanding those systems concepts, which I put in System and Revolution. So these fundamental theoretical frameworks have been missing in politics. And that's the major contribution that I've made since starting in 2012, really looking at theory. Without theory, there's not going to be any significant change. Now, Ron Paul came from more of the constitutional perspective and he got screwed. Okay. Mm-hmm. We have many, many people. I would say about 50% of our movement is former Ron Paul people. Mm-hmm. But the element that they were missing again was the system science. You say, so you can't blame these people. It's like you can't, in fact, blame some of the great revolutionary leaders. They were heading in the right direction, but they didn't have the right. They frankly didn't have the science. The science had not evolved. Right. You can't blame people who were trying to build airplanes until Bernoulli's principle came. You know, you can't say, well, they made all these mistakes. Yeah, they did, but they were still heading in that direction, you see? But it was until Bernoulli's principle came, we weren't able to really build airplanes. And what I've uncovered is these fundamental engineering systems principles that can be applied to anything, but particularly to politics. So when we have the slogan, truth, freedom, and health, this is not a slogan. So in general systems theory, you find out that there are three phenomenon. One is called the movement of information, matter, and energy, Kevin, and that's the phenomenon called transport. Freedom must exist in a society. It's fundamental. It's about moving information, matter, and energy, right? Me being able to communicate with you without strictures by the government and so on. So the US framers got that right. The second part is freedom allows us to have open dialogue if it's done well, and then we can do science, which mm-hmm. is truth is really a process. In engineering science, we call it the conversion process, taking a bunch of things, putting it through a process, and you get something. So truth comes out of the scientific method, but you're not going to have truth without freedom, right? Because if you're only constrained the discussion to this much, you're never going to find out, well, let's just focus on vax and anti-vax. Let's not talk about the much bigger stuff about the immune system. And then the vessel which contains transport and conversion is a structural piece, which is health. So what I've uncovered because of the background I came from, to me, it's not growing up in a Kennedy family or a Trump family. This is theory. I don't have the luxury of speaking in diplomatic terms, right? Because I grew up among people who had nothing. About in a caste system. So liberal white elites can talk about theory, okay? So when you look at Ron Paul Ron Paul basically, he didn't have the balls to extract himself out of this system. When you're trying to change stuff within the system out, it has limitations. You have to fully get off the plantation. And maybe it's because of the background I come from, I'm willing to walk off the plantation. Now you take the Occupy movement, which, when I was at MIT and, it was going on here. But the Occupy movement was heavily infiltrated by the Bernie Sanders foolish crowd, okay? That liberal imperialist way of thinking. Fundamentally, all of these movements in some form or the other have been either the wings of the Republican or Democratic Party, albeit the fringe wings. They're not willing to fully break. They're not willing to get off the plantation. And the reason they're not willing to get off the plantation is because they do not have the strength of the theoretical framework. So that's where, you know, you can, I mean, don't take this the wrong way, you know, please don't. But your questions about Kennedy reflect that concern, that serious problem in theory. Because you understand what I'm saying? He is part of the, as swarm as you can get. The guy, when October 7th said, we must, you know, we support Israel all the way.
I'm well aware that he comes from a long line here of, you know, of a political dynasty that is very much entrenched inside of the system itself.
Organized crime family.
And I don't doubt that at all. I mean, I'm not saying that that's wrong. All I was saying was that that everybody is a Pied Piper. Everybody out there is a Pied Piper. There's
not true.
That's not true. A recoil. I mean,
no,
like
that's
I said,
not true. But that's not true what you said. Malcolm X was not a Pied Piper.
Mm.
I'm not a Pied Piper. You see, the problem is what's happened throughout history is real people from bottoms up have been absolutely suppressed.
And I would have felt that with Ron Paul, though. I thought Ron Paul was very suppressed.
Ron Paul should come and study a little bit of system science. Okay. Mm. He endorsed Kennedy. There you go.
I don't think he endorsed Kennedy.
Yes, he did. Go look at one of his tweets.
Did he say a positive word about him or did he endorse him?
It's an endorsement. He knows we exist.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, to be fair, I wasn't quite sure that you existed here until recently.
Yeah. Well, you can go look about it. We've had about 500 million video views. Mm. Okay. Across all of our videos, my video on vitamin D3 probably got about 200 million views.
Mm.
So there's an active effort to suppress us and shadow ban us. You know, I was the one who exposed a backdoor portal into Twitter in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Long before Twitter files, long before Glenn Greenwald. And it's fascinating for me because women podcasters will interview me, but white men podcasters won't.
No.
White liberal men. Okay. And it's fascinating to observe that. And it's an interesting phenomenon because the nature, you know, Cynthia McKinney, I don't know if you know who she is.
Mm-hmm.
She just, you know, gave us a big endorsement. She goes, the fact, what is she? I don't know if you saw the tweet. It's a very interesting tweet. I just got it.
I'd ask you about Twitter. I don't spend too much time on Twitter anymore.
Yeah. I Twitter is still the you know, unfortunately.
Twitter is I know that you spend quite a bit of time on Twitter. I saw a montage on your presidential video showing a good deal of these influencers. Kind of change course here a little bit. Some of these big name talking heads now. David Icke, I don't know if you heard David Icke here. David Icke calls them the MAM, the mainstream alternative media. And you see a lot of these huge influencers that are just, they're given so much publicity. And you know what I mean? If I was going to take a Pied Piper approach, I would certainly be looking at these new talking heads. And they have so much say in our politics nowadays. And it's like, well, who is propping these guys up? Everybody from the left and the right. I mean, from Ben Shapiro to Vaush to people, even I think who is the biggest Pied Piper, the biggest fraud and grifter to come along in a long time, that being Andrew Tate, is a complete scumbag.
Disgusting human being.
He is completely, but yet 9 million followers on Twitter.
But Kevin, what we need to, once you understand system science, and I really encourage you to come to our open house, because it's the, some people, took me years to uncover this knowledge. But one of the things, let me just put this up here. We do it every 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. It's a 24-hour day for me, literally, on Thursdays. Mm-hmm. But what you find is, once you understand this dynamic, if you saw the swarm video, you saw the shadow of the swarm, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. So what's happened is, after 1950, there was, I don't know if you fully understand, in academic, liberal, imperialist academic, and particularly the liberal academics, including the Noam Chomsky's, mm-hmm. including all these people written books called Manufacturing Consent. You have to really step back and say, how does a guy, and I know Noam very well, okay? How does
He's in Arizona now.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah. How does a guy like him become an institute professor at MIT? There's only four of them. Yeah. Now, the reality is a very close friend of ours who's in our movement, she said something fascinating. She was at State University. She was visiting her friend at State University of New York. This is like in the late 60s, okay? And he said the faculty were all rounded up to go to a special lecture. And they went to that special lecture. It was none other than Chomsky speaking. Mm-hmm. And the statement that was given was, remember, as you know, academics in the humanities departments are very, very valuable to the establishment because they manipulate people's opinions about history, everything, right? Mm-hmm. A decision was made at that time that to destroy in young people's minds the concept of building bottoms-up workers' movements. Okay? Bottoms-up workers' movements. It was fine, rich white kids protesting every 4 years on some issue on college campuses. All right? That's fine. You protest and you go back to work on Wall Street. But the notion of building a workers' movement, working people, the American working class coming together, bottoms up, and seizing the means of production was, oh my God, you can't do that. So no one wants to draw, no one wants to go over there. That's getting fully off the plantation. So a decision was made that people who would get tenure in universities would be those people who create, teach a fake version of workers' movements. Anyway, at this meeting, Chomsky said, we have to equate Stalin with Hitler. Okay? Which means the Bolshevik Revolution must be equated with Nazism. The Bolshevik Revolution was far different than Nazism. The rising of the American, you know, the Russian working people were the ones who stopped Nazism. And someone in the audience said to him, well, how are we going to say that Stalin killed, you know, 20 million people? He goes, we're just going to say it. No one questions it. But the liberal elites, the real liberal elites, I'm not talking about the Klans people, right? I'm not talking about the obvious racists, okay, imperialists. The liberal elites who serve the swarm decided they must make sure no bottoms-up movements ever comes ever in this country because they didn't want to see the repetition of 1920, 1930s, 1800s. It was the American working class that really created immense wealth for this country. So they don't want to see that anymore. So they have deliberately pushed people to ensure that guys like me are made invisible. But the problem they had is in 2020, we got our stuff out to about 500 million people. I was the first one in March of 2020 to call out the pandemic. We started the Fire Fauci campaign. We gave protocols. It's all up online. And then I was the first one thrown off Twitter for exposing the fact that in my important election, we found the fact that the government has a backdoor portal into Twitter. That was my lawsuit. Mm-hmm. And so the problem is a guy like me is not in any of these camps, not in the Ron Paul camp or the Republican camp, not in all these camps, absolutely independent. And we've now created a movement that's absolutely independent. So one, it's hard for people to appreciate how well these people are organized to make sure that bottoms-up movements do not come ever in this country. Because they saw what happened in the late 1800s. As you know, four American workers were hanged in the United States in the Haymarket riots. Mm. And up until the early 1900s, it was women who led these very powerful movements. These weren't communist movements being run out of China. They were bottoms-up American working class movements. And that's who all of these people want to make sure never, ever occurs again. Ever. Offline, I'll share with you emails from Booby fucking Kennedy sharing with this other friend how he is going to play the role of the not so obvious establishment. He knows what he's doing. Yes. Hmm. So you got to get your head out of your ass, man. I'm not saying to you, everyone in general, you have to stop making, because this is a matter of life and death for what we do in this country.
We can get back. Yeah.
And so this is very serious for me. So when I call him Booby fucking Kennedy or Zionist cocksucker, I'm doing that because my voice represents a voice of everyday working people. These people's voices represent a way to manipulate you. Well, Booby said that, but he said that, and he said that. And do you understand how clever that they're doing that? That is being done. So you don't get off your butt. I don't mean you in broadly to say, I got to go build a bottoms up movement. I got to mobilize working people. I got to support people like Dr. Shiva Iyaduri, who comes from one of us.
Well, I am not me. I am now giving public speeches out in the Capitol courtyard right now. I am. You might not like my method here, but I am going to vote for NOTA. If you're not on the ballots, I will be starting a campaign to invalidate the vote. It is a protest vote. I think it'd be the year for it.
But yeah. I'm into building movements.
I'm not that organized myself. Yeah. I can barely get myself together.
What I'm saying is, if you study, and I think you'll enjoy this, I'm not sure what your background is, but if you study the nature of systems, the fundamental, I mean, we understood, you know how this works, right? You drop this, okay, G times M1 times M2 over R squared, the force of gravity, right? That took us hundreds of years to thousands of years to figure that out. Then we understood electromagnetism, right? Which was the work of Maxwell and Faraday. So that's how we created this, okay? But where is the science to understand how do you fundamentally build movements? Where's that science? Is there a science? And I've uncovered those fundamental scientific principles. And this
I hope you share some stuff with me.
What's that?
I hope you'll share some information with me via email.
Yeah. But people need to, every recurrent 4 years, Kevin, they sucker people into one wing of the establishment. The fringe wings are created by the establishment. Look, when in 1984, I don't know how old you are. How old are you, Kevin?
I'm 75 years old, man. I'll be running for president myself here pretty soon.
Now, how old are you?
I'm 38.
All right. So I'm 60. All right. So I got 22 years on you. So in 1984, there was a guy called Jesse Jackson. I don't know if you know
him. I know him.
Okay. So Jesse Jackson was created by the swarm, just like Booby Kennedy, just like Trump was. And what was his job? Well, people were, right, this is late, early 80s. A lot of students are feeling, young people are feeling very, very disenfranchised, right, by the establishment. You had Reagan running against a guy called Walter Mondale, two establishment candidates. So here you have this broad mass of youth, sound very similar to Bernie Sanders' time, very, very disenfranchised. So the swarm promotes this radical, supposed radical, called Jesse Jackson. And he runs a thing called the Rainbow Movement, not the LGBT rainbow, a different rainbow movement, okay? And he gets a lot of young people thinking, oh, wow, he's radical, okay? And he's anti-establishment. So anyway, and this was when I was 16 or 17, I hadn't figured out all these dynamics, okay? So Jackson's job was to corral all these people, anti-war activists, people who were anarchists, anti-establishment, everyone you can imagine, okay? And he claimed he was building a movement. But at the last minute, what does he do on the floor of the Democratic Convention? He says, well, you know, there may be differences between, me and Walter Mondale, but we must all come together. So he takes all these people and literally you could see it. It was live on TV. He corrals everyone. He gives a sorry ass speech on the floor of the Democratic Convention and corrals everyone into the arms of Walter Mondale. Okay. So if you want to visualize it from a systems dynamic standpoint, you have the head of the establishment. They have their shoulders. In this case, the obvious establishment of the Republican Party and the obvious establishment of the Democrat Party. But this bird cannot fly, Kevin, without the wings.
Right.
To flap its wings. So they have the fringe elements. The left had, the right had the Tea Party at that time, which was emerging. Okay. The left had the Rainbow Movement. They had Bernie Sanders. Okay. And these people have to wave their wings, just squawk enough to every 4 years to corral people back in the establishment. They're fully not off the plantation. That's
it.
You see what I'm saying? So this,
I do.
This is a dynamic. So on the left and the right, they have 100 Booby Kennedys. On the right, they have 100 Donald Trumps in training. Vivek the Snake, another scumbag. Okay. Tulsi Gabbard. I mean, she fools a lot of people. Oh my God, Tulsi's anti-war. She's, well, really? Well, she was all out for us invading Iraq. She was all out for bombing Gaza. So these people are created by the swarm. They're intelligence agents. Tucker Carlson, an intelligent asset. So what happens, so the dynamic I'm saying, once you understand the engineering here, you will recognize that every time that they have the obvious establishment, they need the not so obvious. They go hand in hand. So right now, to your point, the old school media establishment has been exposed, right? People see them for what they are, Fox and CNN. So the swarm, in its infinite intelligence, says, oh shit, we need to create a new establishment. Joe Rogan, Fucker Carlson, you know, Sadhguru, yeah, right? Alex Jones, you go down, yeah, the list, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, Kevin, in the moment they create the new neo, they must create the not so obvious establishment, mm-hmm, which is the Candace Owens they create, as though she and Ben Shapiro are on different sides suddenly. Okay. She is still promoted. She still gets all the views. If, yeah, you are truly against the establishment, they will put you in a digital cage like they've done to me. Mm-hmm. I have 500,000 followers on 540,000 followers on Facebook. They haven't grown in 2 years. This is why I'm filing another major lawsuit against Sisa, Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk. I'm the one who discovered the backdoor portal.
Mm-hmm.
But they put Kennedy in front of the congressional committee when he sent his people to file the amicus briefs in our lawsuit.
Right.
They cannot have one of us absolutely with all the credentials I have. Why? I created the first email system. I have 4 degrees from MIT. I've won every fucking award. What the fuck has Kennedy done? The fucking guy plagiarized his thesis, senior thesis at Harvard. Hmm. Guy's a fucking fool. He openly tells you personal integrity must not equal private integrity. He says that. I mean, public integrity.
What, if I could get a question here real, yeah, fast here. What do you think about the fact that there are a number of these new talking heads, as I call them, who are now, to go back to our subject here, who are now somewhat critical of Israel and talking about the Palestinian cause? You saw Tucker Carlson's recent interview, I think it was with a pastor or it was a someone over in Israel talking about their treatment of Christians. And that clip, of course, that's a very popular clip. I mean, Tucker Carlson's lost some viewers here recently, they say. But he did give an interview with someone who was talking about Christian mistreatment.
Let me ask you before I do that. I want you to think about it. I give you the answer. Why do we put so much emphasis on this fucking fool, Fucker Carlson?
Well, that's not. I'm just using it.
No. But let me explain to you. And I did a, you know, I've done many videos exposing this guy.
Mm.
Any idiot now tells the truth, because that's how they get views and clicks. But you cannot forget the two other elements of truth telling, Kevin. Otherwise, it's just being a grifter. One of the elements is, when did you tell the truth? When? Mm-hmm. And the third element is, are you telling the truth to mobilize a bottoms-up movement? These are two very critical things. So let's review a couple of things here. When did you tell the truth? Mm-hmm. Do you know the CIA is very clever at telling the truth? They have a whole process called the limited hangout. Have you heard that term?
I have.
Okay. So what they do is, first thing is when an independent journalist, an independent agent like myself, exposes in bare view, like we did this. Okay. We exposed this in bare view in 2020. This is in the most historic lawsuit in the world, where we expose how this woman, part of the government, used this entire infrastructure to silence me on Twitter. All right. Aya Duray versus Twitter. When we expose that in bare view in federal court, that the government has a backdoor portal into Twitter. When did we do that? October of 2020. And you can go to winbackfreedom.com. What did Fucker Carlson do? I have his personal email address.
Mm-hmm.
I met him. What did he do? He concealed it. He concealed it for 2 years.
Really?
Glenn Greenwald concealed it for 2 years. You have to understand, the intelligence agencies in this country are very clever. They create intelligent assets, because after the Nixon administration, you can go listen to it on the Nixon tapes with Haldeman, they created a technique called a limited hangout. That's where it comes out. When you catch them red-handed, like we did in federal court, they say, shit, this is being discovered by Dr. Shiva Iyer, is an independent. We don't want to give him any limelight because he's going to become the hero of the world. So what they do is they conceal the truth. They concealed it. The problem was, we got out that truth to about a half a billion people, because I did video after video after video. And then when they threw me off Twitter of exposing that, that's when I was off Twitter for 2 years. I was just recently put back on. Mm-hmm. So I was in the center of all this. And it was Elon Musk who they brought in, another not so obvious establishment. Mm-hmm. Elon is fighting for free speech. Are you fucking serious? Where government ends and Elon Musk begins, nobody knows.
Yeah.
It's right in front of you.
Yeah.
But people are maybe smoking too much weed, or they don't understand the reality of these people, that the swarm controls these people. So when the truth comes out, they suppress it. And that's what Tucker Carlson did. And then in December of 2022, a guy called Li Fang from The Intercept steals my stuff and releases a little piece of it in DHS leaks. That was all my stuff. Okay, thinking who's going to win a Pulitzer for that. And Tucker Carlson, you can go to Win Back Freedom. He goes, wow. He goes, how come this truth was ignored? You ignored it. And you can see the emails to Tucker Carlson, everything. It's all fully exposed. And it's in our new lawsuit. He's an intelligence agent. Yeah. His father was an intelligence agent, a serious member of the CIA. And the story goes, oh, Tucker wanted to be in the CIA, but he couldn't get in. No, he was repositioned as an asset in Fox News. Number one, he didn't tell the truth at the right time. He waited 2 years, acts like he's Mickey the Dunce. And so dumb people give him credit. Oh, wow, Tucker told the truth. I'm sorry. Christian Zionism has been well talked about for 40 years. The video that I did about 6 months ago talks about how Christians and Zionism, how can you put this together? The video I did on Zionist cocksucker got about 100 million views. And now it's fashionable to talk against Zionism. Okay. But why are they doing it? And this is where people need to get their heads screwed on straight and get smart. We can't be dumb. Oh, Tucker's talking about Zionism. No, Tucker's talking about Christianity's obvious contradiction with Zionism, because a broad mass of working people in this country know that. And they saw the video that I put out. And they're fine with me calling people Zionist cocksuckers, which has been on the mind of many Americans. I just articulated it with my audience that I had. So now they watch which way the wind blows, CIA technique. Then they say, oh my God, is this horrible? And when is he telling you this, Kevin? After Gaza's been vaporized. Yeah. Not on October 7th.
Right.
When? This is a CIA technique. So then after you see the devastation and you hear the truth, you know what happens to people's brains? Second CIA technique called learned helplessness. People say, wow, that's so amazing. The government controls the entire social media companies. What to do? You know, like Indians say, what to do? What can we do?
Right.
Like, you're like, what to do? Right.
Yeah.
Like, I should just marry Wega. But they weren't there.
Mm.
Where was fucking Kennedy was promoting lockdowns in March of 2020? I came out against lockdowns. We took our bus. We collected 120,000 signatures.
Mm.
And we told Trump, do not shut down this country. It's all there.
Mm.
I was the main guy speaking about this. And this is why we have so much credibility, so much trust. I told the truth at the right time to mobilize people. They tell the truth after the fucking buildings burned down, like Fire Marshal Bob, you know, in Living Color.
Mm-hmm.
That's who these people are. It is a, and this is where working people need to get smart. This is the real difference. Those people in power are very intelligent, man. They will literally steal word for word. Kennedy sends his goons to our Zoom session, steals word for word, and next day does a video, word for word.
Damn.
He's a fucker.
Yeah.
Go look at Maureen Callahan's article on him. Have you read that?
I've read a number of articles. I'm not sure if I recall
that one. Read Maureen's article.
Maureen.
She talks about Booby was banging 20, 30 women while he's married.
I didn't hear about that.
And kept a diary of it, a detailed diary of raiding them. His wife finds this diary and hangs herself.
Yeah, and second wife. Sorry.
Yeah. And the story goes from one of his friends that he was fine with that. But when the funeral takes place, he hires Ken Sunshine. Do you know who he is? Ken Sunshine is one of the number one PR guys in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they take beautiful photos. I mean, you know how hard it is to even take a selfie of yourself, you know?
Yeah.
They hire beautiful photographs of him praying over her coffin as though he really cared about this woman. Beautiful photographs. You know, they're about to bury his wife on the Kennedy plot. The next day, they exhume her body, Kevin. He has it exhumed.
Yeah.
Buried in an unmarked grave.
Yeah. I heard that. That's disturbing.
It's more than disturbing. He's a fucking scumbag.
Mm. Yeah.
And I can go on and on and on and on. Okay. He believes in this climate change nonsense. He was saying that the lockdowns were good. because they were going to stop the spread of COVID. That's in March of 2020.
I saw that tweet.
Right. Mm-hmm. What did I say? Compare that to him. Compare that to all these guys, Biden, Trump, and all these guys were promoting this. Mm-hmm. So you have to look at when someone tells the truth. Yeah, Fucker Carlson is talking about Nord Stream, right? Or what happened, you know, like a year later.
Yeah.
He's a fucker. That's why I call him Fucker Carlson. He knows what he's doing. I'll tell you about the election fraud stuff. I mean, I can keep going on and on and on because I was in the center of all this, not only an eyewitness, but the protagonist in this.
Okay. Well, if you wanted to, I was going to ask a question.
I'm just saying that the neo-establishment doesn't know what to do because our movement exists because we're hitting them. Typically what happens, you have the obvious establishment and the not so obvious establishment. The not so obvious establishment attacks the obvious establishment. And people are like, oh, wow, Bernie's attacking them. Wow, isn't that cool? Jesse's doing that. Ooh, Booby Kennedy. Ooh, Trump. And that's how they keep the masses contained. But our movement didn't exist. Had it existed 40 years ago, these guys would be over. But we are exposing this dynamic, man. You get what I'm saying?
We're exposing
the dynamic. And we're educating people on that dynamic. That's very dangerous. If I were them, I would also shadow ban me. Because you're going at the root of the evil. It's like reading. I mean, you're a writer. If you read Shakespeare, right? Shakespeare spent most of his life exposing the hypocrisy. You read Hamlet. The character Polonius is a real interesting character. To thy own self be true. When the guy was a bullshitter all his life, he's telling Laertes, his son, to thy own self be true. When he's the biggest lying character. And that's what these great writers, these great philosophers were trying to educate us on. It is your actions, your deeds, and when you fucking did them. When did you talk about Christian Zionism? Oh, now you're talking about it because you want to get clicks. Fucker Carlson, in the middle of November, we have all of his text messages that came out in federal court. Oh, there is no election fraud. Ha, ha, ha. There is no election fraud. The elections run beautifully well. And then as he saw the MAGA people watching my videos that I did on Michigan, on Arizona, you know, proving how they flip votes with the machines. As those videos are explosively out there, then he takes a position. Ooh, yeah, there's election fraud. The reason he was fired from Fox News was because they could prove malice. Malice is when you say something against you that I knowingly know is false, Kevin. You see? So in his text messages, he's writing messages. There is no fraud. And then outwardly, he goes out and saying, oh, there's election fraud. But internally, he never believed it.
So what was my question? I was going to ask you here. I've learned quite a bit talking about Pied Pipers and people who are pushed by the establishment. I've learned quite a bit by reading Norman Finkelstein's book on Gaza. It came out in 2018. Norman Finkelstein has also made his rounds on the networks as well, talking to Piers Morgan quite a bit. I was thinking, what do you think about Norman Finkelstein's work on Gaza?
Well, look, you don't need to go to Norman Finkelstein's work. You can just go back to many, many people, particularly workers, activists have written stuff, you know, starting in the early 70s. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we have to be very careful here, Kevin. Now it's in vogue to speak against Zionism. Okay. It's getting in vogue. Okay. So the problem is, do you want to build a movement? This is the litmus test. To end Zionist occupation, not of Palestine, but of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So all these liberal elites, who, by the way, run white liberal elites, like when I was at MIT, when the anti-apartheid protests were going on, white liberal elites somehow jump into these movements. Ooh, let's not say those words. Let's do it like this. They always constrain these movements. But when you look at this phenomenon, they believe in ceasefire now. Have you heard that slogan?
Yeah.
It's a fucked up slogan.
Why? Because Israel's been bombing Palestine for a very long time.
Well, that slogan, you know how long that slogan has existed?
Oh, a long time?
Yeah, it's existed. When I came to, in 1981, I came to Boston. There was a guy called Mir Kahana, who's a rabid butcherer of Palestinian people. He was invited to Brandeis University, which is a Zionist university. I led one of the biggest protests there. And these liberal Zionists would infiltrate our protests, right? So we had the real people wanted to truly liberate the Palestinian people. And these liberal Zionists, let's call ceasefire now. You see what I'm saying? They're the not so obvious establishment. So the entire anti, quote unquote, Israel movement has been controlled by the Israelis, by the Zionists who infiltrate them. They don't want to talk about ending the occupation of America. This is very different. It is America that has been occupied by Zionism. But they say ceasefire now. And they've been saying that, 1981 to what year are we now? 42 years. I've seen it with my eyes. Mm-hmm. And when they say ceasefire now, Kevin, it means Israel can go two steps forward and then one step back. Ceasefire now. The operative word is now. You can then go beating up the shit out of Gaza tomorrow. But right now, and many of these people, liberal imperialism goes like this. Oh, I'm a Jewish Zionist. This is so horrible what Netanyahu is doing. It's come out to the outside world. Ooh, I feel bad. If it was hidden, if it was never exposed, they wouldn't say anything. But when it comes into bare view, this is liberal imperialism. They just want you to fuck over the masses in a different way. If you do it undercover and it doesn't come out, that's okay. But when it comes out into bare view and they're fully exposed, they then act like they're bleeding heart individuals caring for these people. If you truly cared for the people of Palestine and Gaza, you would intersect that, what's going on there, right to on the American soil, which is Zionism. Zionism occupies every aspect of U.S. infrastructure and policy, everything.
All the media, the intelligence agencies, the government.
Everything. But what I'm saying is, do you understand this very important but distinct difference between where our movement comes from and where they're coming from? You know, in the apartheid movement in 1981, 1982, I don't know if you remember, in that period, universities. What's that?
Just before my time.
Yeah, but universities had billions of dollars invested in racist South Africa.
Yeah.
Okay. So in 1982, there was a broad movement across the United States saying, we must end apartheid. Okay. I mean, 2% of the people ruling over 98% of people. Disgraceful. Okay. And it was compelled by the fact that in South Africa, working people were rising up bottoms up. There was a broad workers' movement among the miners. Okay. So, and there, by the way, there were many trends in those workers' movements. And this is something people need to understand. There's not only one trend. There is many trends. U.S. universities have endowments, as you know. Universities collect money from donors. You know, Harvard had, I think MIT had about a $40 billion endowment. And those endowments have to grow in value, right? So president of a university is judge how much they grew the endowment. Oh, when you came in as president with $40 billion, I brought it to $50 billion. Well, how do they grow the endowments? They invest. They have hedge fund managers who do that. Okay. So universities were investing quite a bit of money in South Africa, in their mines, diamond mines, all that kind of stuff, right? So students who had some sense of fairness and justice were against these. And so these anti-apartheid protests launch. Well, again, there were three trends. Well, most people, the pro-apartheid students, oh, we're helping the blacks. Right. We're giving them money. Right. Mm-hmm. Like Booby Kennedy, quote unquote, said the Palestinian people are the most pampered people on the planet because we're helping. Mm-hmm. They said that, quote unquote. You want to hear it? Go type in pampered people. OK.
Bobby Kennedy.
He said the Palestinian people are the most pampered people on the planet. It's a scumbag. Anyway, so you had one wing of the establishment, which would say that. The other wing were, these hippie kids who came from very wealthy families, they said, no to apartheid. We have to end the divestment. Now, interesting enough, Kevin, I don't know if you've been to Cambridge, MIT's here. Within yards of MIT is one of the poorest neighborhoods, in Roxbury, in Dorchester. You can take a train ride there, okay? None of these white kids, white liberal kids, would ever go there. But they were all into talking about blacks being mistreated 10,000 miles away. Okay. Now me coming from the background I did, a low caste Indian growing up in Patterson and Newark, and my friends were poor blacks, poor whites, and poor Hispanics. We said, this is fucked up. So our movement said, you know what? That's fine. You want to talk about apartheid in South Africa. Why don't we talk about apartheid right here in the food service center? Okay. where the black workers are paid about half the wages of the white workers. You see what I'm saying? And they don't even have any healthcare rights. So we intersected what was going on 10,000 miles away, right on campus. And we mobilized the workers. They came to our side, not to those liberal white kids. And there's a very interesting protest that I'd led from Boston University across the steps of, across the Mass Ave Bridge, about 5,000 of us. And we burned the South African flag on the steps of MIT. The cops didn't even bother us. And then we marched to the president's office. And within several months later, MIT pulled out. Had we left it to these liberal fucking goons who were just namby-pamby talking shit, you know, no to apartheid, like this bullshit, nothing would have occurred. The ceasefire now movement has been owned by those people. That's why our position on this is end the occupation of America. You see the distinctive, because I'm coming from a very different political theory, it leads to a very different slogan and a very different solution.
I see what you're saying. I think if I could, I mean, I think some people's broad width, so to speak, is kind of narrow. They might see what's going on over in Palestine. They might see the carnage, the destruction, the death, and not automatically make the connection that it has something to do with America. Same thing with the people over there in Cambridge, where if they had heard about the atrocities taking place over in South Africa, but not automatically make the connection that it has something to do with their neighbors, their coworkers. You see what I'm saying? That was the point with Norman Finkelstein. Norman Finkelstein has been talking about Palestine for 30 years, but he doesn't always talk about the Israel lobby or AIPAC.
Neither does Noam Chomsky.
Yeah, well, Noam Chomsky dismisses it almost entirely. I mean, it seems to have changed his tune a little bit, but I mean,
I'm saying anyone who gets mainstream media attention, Kevin, and this is a central principle, is being put out there to make people feel as though there are heroes that the mainstream likes and wants. They do not want people to build a bottoms-up movement being led by us. Because the slogan that I've come up with, end the occupation of Zionism in America, is what needs to happen. Now, that affects every American worker. It says, you know what? You get into the issues of Christianity, it has nothing to do with Zionism. You can start talking about these fundamental issues. You know, if there is a one issue thing, which I hate to do, unfortunately, if you want to be a slightly reductionist, Zionism is so pervasive. 95% of fucking Congress has to get funded by Zionists.
Oh, yeah.
So it's right in front of us. So if we want to create a movement, we must talk about ending the occupation of America. You can bark all day being in America, waving flags, ceasefire now for some people. But what are you doing right here? You can affect policy here. You see? Yeah. So it's a liberal imperialist thing, or it makes you feel good. And liberal elitists do stuff that makes them feel good, not to actually end up in a result that you can affect here.
What do you think would happen if we did end the Zionist occupation in America? What would happen to the state of Israel itself? Would it kind of fade away? Do you think the Middle Eastern powers would...
Have you been to Israel?
No.
Okay, well, if you go to Israel, there's a large section of the populace. You saw this. There was a massive protest just yesterday. I don't know if you saw. Hundreds of thousands of people just yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay. Right before October 7th, close to 700,000 people were protesting against Netanyahu. So we have to understand that Zionism is anti-Semitic. Zionism thrives on anti-Semitism. It's cultural nationalism. It's not progressive nationalism, it's cultural nationalism. It's a political ideology. It needs anti-Semitism for it to survive, just like cultural black nationalism needs the KKK. Okay. Marcus Garvey was very close with the KKK.
Right.
He said, you want to get us out. You know, we want to go back. Right. So cultural nationalism always leads to this dead end. Okay. From a political philosophy. So Zionism was very close friends with Nazism. And you can just do the work on it. It's enough scholars have written about this. Okay. But the broad mass of Jewish people even in Germany at the time of Hitler, we're building workers' movements against Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
And Hitler, the first people he knocked off weren't just any random Jews. He went after those workers' activists. Mm-hmm. That's what. And the Zionists collaborated with Hitler to knock off those Jews. The Zionists collaborated with Nazis to kill Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto. I've been probably the first one to really talk about this and intersect it with this fundamental issue that the right solution, which many Jews support, it's not just a small fringe minority, is a secular Palestine, a secular country, not a theocracy, mm-hmm. where Jews and Arabs live together. Okay. Right now, it is not a secular state. It is a theocracy.
Did Israel not start off as something of a secular state and then kind of evolve into a more religiously radical state?
What they did, Kevin, is no different than, you know, India has a caste system, which you can go investigate. You know, we come from one of the lower castes. The fact that I'm even here talking to you is one in a trillion, as I've shared before.
Mm-hmm.
But the caste system was conflated with Hinduism. Brahmanism, like a small set of, they have the concept of the chosen people in Brahmanism, but Brahmanism is antithetical to Hinduism, but it melds itself in because religion is so powerful, right? Mm. It's such emotional things. So Zionism was a political ideology, and then it got meshed into Judaism, you see?
Mm.
So if you're attacking Zionism, they equated it to attacking Judaism. You're anti-Semitic, quote unquote anti-Semitic, right? When the word is just so fucked up, okay?
Yeah.
Arabs are Semites too, all right?
All right.
But the point is that these political ideologies and how you manipulate people, Christian Zionism, that's like saying Christian Nazism. You see how these terms have become melded. A guy called Martin Heckler is the one who created this eschatological view of Christianity. Like, boom, you know, suddenly Armageddon's going to come. The Jewish people are going to return. This was not the fundamental basis of Christianity. It suddenly becomes the centerpiece of Christianity. And all these evangelical Christians all over the southern part of the United States report to Israel. And they basically have bamboozled 70 million Americans to believe this. And this is why the Trumps and all these people are necessary for Israel, for Zionism. But the reality is, you know, British and US imperialism don't give a damn about, frankly, the Jewish people or the Arab people. They need that strip of land there because it helps imperial forces. British imperialism and US imperialism control that entire region. Go look at it on the map. It's a little piece of real estate, right? Mm-hmm. But it is strategic. It is like literally having an aircraft carrier in the Mediterranean, right? That's what that region represents. And now we know it has 2 trillion cubic feet of natural gas. Okay. So we have to understand that imperialism uses its tools as it needs to maximize power, profit, control. Now in the 1930s and 40s, they saw this fringe group called Zionism headed by this guy, Theodore Herzl, who was an atheist, by the way. Right.
Yeah.
And they saw, wow, this is pretty cool. We could use this to divide and rule this area. British policy has always been divide and rule. They went to India. Muslims and Hindus were always living reasonably well together, and Christians. They were came they? In. Yeah.
Go. Pakistanis and Indians.
Well, I grew up in a cold look at the history of India, right? Moguls have been there. India is probably one of the biggest melting pots.
Was there not a good deal of war, though, between Pakistanis and Indians?
When did that happen, Kevin? Go look at history. 1947.
Mm-hmm.
Who created the partition? Who divided India up like that? The British. Wherever the British go, they draw random lines. And then they have one tribe fighting against another tribe. And then while they're doing that, they manipulate and take all their resources. I mean, you go look at Africa. They went and randomly just drew lines everywhere.
Mm.
And people are like, wait a minute, that's a random line you drew. That's my property. And then they have these tribal chiefs fighting each other. And while they're doing that, then British say, oh, you know, we'll help you. Give us some of your diamonds. You see what I'm saying? Back and forth. This has been the process.
It's the same strategy they're trying to make happen in the Middle East then.
Well, if you look at the Middle East is fascinating because the majority of young people and the broad mass of people, forget even Israel. You know, if you go to Egypt, if you go to Turkey, if you go to Lebanon, all these people, or even Iran, they hate their leaders. They don't like these imams. They didn't like, you know, the Shah. They don't like Erdogan. I mean, if you go to, you know, when I was in Egypt, 30-40% unemployment rates among the youth. The U.S. actually, and NATO and Israel has made deals. Saudi Arabia, all these people are supported. So you have to ask yourself, forget America, forget Israel. I mean, if these people united, they could liberate Palestine overnight. Why haven't they done that? The so-called Muslims who care about their Muslim brothers, I would argue that they've stabbed their own Muslim brothers in the back.
Yeah.
There are brothers in the back. Because they are all, because we're not talking broadly about Muslim as one broad, we're forgetting the class issues. This is about a small set of people, whether they're Muslim, whether they're Hindu, whether they're, you know, Zionist. There's a strata of people who profit by power, profit, control. So you have really wealthy Muslims who are Zionists. They're really wealthy Hindus who are Zionists. Wealthy Christians are Zionists. And then you have the broad mass of people who actually are against these principles of Zionism or Brahmanism. So if it was left up to the people in these countries, all of these leaders would be overthrown by now. So the only reason I would argue that Iran even did this attack on Israel was within Iran, within these Middle East countries. Go look at the millions of people showing up in Turkey. Erdogan is a scumbag. He's always stabbed the Palestinians in the back. To the extent he speaks rhetoric of, oh, yeah, you know, our Palestinian brothers. He's doing that, Kevin, because he doesn't want to be overthrown. So they're keeping these boiling pots, you know, under simmer right now.
A despot seemed to have learned a lesson here in the last 100 years, though, that if they don't want to be overthrown, they need to try to placate their population and at least have a good living for them.
Either it's placate them or buy time, you see, you know, and that's what they're really doing, you see. But again, the change is not going to come top down. It's going to have to be a movement bottoms up. Let me just play a quick video for people and then we'll come back, because I just want to, you know, I'd like to play this one video where we teach people why people should get involved in our movement for truth from health. Before I go to that, one of the simple things we tell Kevin people to do with all the censorship that our campaign endures, we tell people to go get one of these bumper stickers, you know, either Shatter the Swarm, people can get globally, or they can get one of these other simple bumper stickers called, you know, Dr. Shiva for President. The reason these are really cool is because it's very cheap. You put it on the back of your car. 100,000 people see this. A very good friend of mine who ran for politics locally said 100,000 people per day will see one of these. So people should go to shivaforpresident.com and get one of these bumper stickers. That's the first thing that I want everyone to do who support we're doing. The second thing is, you know, we have our movement for truth, freedom, health. So that's like the immediate thing people can do and help us get on the ballot, because we're getting on the ballot in every state. We got enough signatures in Idaho and Iowa. Booby Kennedy couldn't even get 1,000 signatures in Idaho. Did it in the rain and snow. Yeah, so he had to go do a backroom deal with the Secretary of State to give him more time until August. It's disgraceful because no one told us. We were out in the rain and snow collecting signatures when he went and got an extension. Couldn't get 1,000 signatures. He takes $20 million and he goes and gets signature vendors to do this. And we expose him. He suddenly found some black woman to collect signatures from, acting like she's collecting signatures. But he gets signature vendors, okay? Professionals to collect signatures. That's not a bottoms-up movement, Kevin. So let me just play this video. But I want everyone to recognize that the long game here is you have to get involved and understand this dynamics. There is a science to shattering the storm. And if you don't, people are going to, hate to say it, follow Ron Paul one day or the Occupy movement or libertarianism, but they're not going to understand the actual dynamics so they can stand up on their own two feet and be able to really be critical of what's going on and build these movements.
So we have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you. deep down inside them that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to. And we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that. And that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train an army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up, working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You've got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own quote-unquote people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics, and I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people. 2 years of MIT control systems, I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it, anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I gotta build a bottoms-up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhelp.com, so people can sign in. They can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhelp.com.
Anyway, that gives a background, Kevin, because there's not going to be any movement without a foundational understanding of this. You say
Mm-hmm.
And so throughout history, what's happened is it's typically been philosophers and lawyers who've attempted to, or economists, right? People from the social sciences who've attempted to give direction in the political realm. And, you know, whatever they've done, right? But it does not come from an engineering systems framework connected to actual laws. And that's what this is. You know, what I've uncovered is there's a fundamental set of principles that you can look at how everything the universe operates, and you can apply to your physical body, you can apply to anything, but also politics. So Truth, Freedom, Health is the reflection of the three of those nine principles. So
I like your message quite a lot, Dr. Yeah. Shiva. Since I'm planning on spoiling the ballot over here in Arizona anyway, I'm going to write you in. Even if you're not in, I'm going to scribble.
Well, you should help us get on the ballot, man. We have one of my best friends. You should meet with him. He lives out there now. A lot of my best friends have moved out there.
Mm-hmm.
We have a woman called Marion Berry who's out there. You know, getting on the ground, you know, it's like people want to, let's say, lose weight, or they want to feel healthier. They do this and they want to do it overnight. But getting on the ground is no different than getting into the gym, you know, getting to this practice.
Yeah.
Of doing, it's like you're literally flexing your citizenship muscles.
Yeah.
So, you know, so as a movement, we have to make this. So when I say, you know, go get a bumper sticker and put this on your thing, this is a tangible thing someone can do
for right.
like $3 or $4, right?
Or wear a t-shirt or protest or something.
Exactly.
There's so much activity right now, Dr. Shiva, that has moved permanently into the digital realm right now. And I think
that's not good. The future is offline, man. But that's why we made this simple. People can go get this flyer at shivaforpresident.com. They download it. And we've made it, you know, in the old days when I used to pass out thousands of flyers as an activist, we didn't have the concept of a QR code. So people here can read the problem, then they can see who caused the problem. Then we invite people to watch our videos. They can literally take their iPhones and scan this. And then we invite people to come to our open houses. So for example, each open house, we teach people how to strengthen their immune system, not vax, anti-vax. That just sends money over to Children's Health Defense Fund and fucking booby. We teach people how you can solve the environmental issues, okay? By supporting on a budget, how to get healthy food. We teach people system science. We teach people how to innovate. We teach people actual things that they can learn here and now. So this is not theoretical. This is not some ball scratching event, you know? This is.
I prefer the ball scratching sometimes, depending on.
Or beard scratching with your pipe, you know?
Right.
Not the mental masturbation event. So, you know, I'm very serious about this, and we're not here to convince people. You know, in a group of around 1,000 people, 30% of people are never going to do anything. They want to wear masks. They want to get quadruple vaccinated. Fine. Give them more stuff to do.
Yeah.
50% of people are caught in this realm of, ooh, Booby said some nice stuff. Ooh, Trump is a nice guy. They're fucking lost. But there are 20% of people who are finding when they get our message, they're like, shit, I can't argue with anything Dr. Shiva's saying. And they have to go through this cognitive dissonance phase, right?
Yeah.
And then they have to have the self-reflection and let go of their ego to overcome that and not excuse these obvious contradictions, like, you know, like I've shared with you. And then they come to a point where they say, shit, this is a hard part for people, because when you come to that realm, if you go to this website I'll share with you on Truth, Freedom, Health, you know, we have a, you know, we say get educated and enslaved. People can get involved. We have gear people can wear and all this kind of stuff. And then we give stories of people who've gone through this, everyday people, okay? But over here, we talk about the problem is there's lots of information out there, right? But information is not leading people to a better life. More people are unhealthy. More people feel depressed. More people feel like they want to overthrow their governments, right? And the reason is information is put through the lens of ignorance, which leads to illusion, confusion. Then people are willing to compromise. Ooh, you know, let me go to the left or the right, or complacent or desperate. And our point is the only way, and these are the people who are the not so obvious establishment. They're the deliverers. They are the machinery of that ignorance.
Yeah.
And it's hard for people to believe this, but I see it as clear as day. And once you see this, you realize that the only way out of this is for you to learn knowledge, which is different than, you know, ignorance, which is to be able to connect the dots. And this requires a science of systems. Then you get to wisdom, and then you get to clarity. And then you say, well, I'm going to organize, right? By myself, like, you know, what we just talked about here. But this requires people to let go of the old system. But it's taken me 50 years to create a platform, like I created email or these other technologies. It's a system and a platform where you have to learn, you have to study. This stuff is not obvious, man. This stuff is not, the not so obvious establishment is not so obvious.
Right. It's not right? at all.
You have to study it. It's counterintuitive.
But it takes a lot of time, and not every working person has that kind of time.
It's right. Difficult. So we've had to make it easy. Mm-hmm, so we have a learn, teach, and serve model. We have people who are, you know, hair cutters who teach a PhD. What's going mm-hmm. on? PhDs don't understand this, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So it's literally a new body of knowledge that I've uncovered, Kevin, that intersects these ancient systems of medicine and yoga with modern engineering system science. That missing link of knowledge helps us intersect and discover why we all need to be self-organizing systems. And to ever think that booby fucking Kennedy, that all these people from above are ever going to do anything for us is pure laziness or pure ignorance.
Well, guys, maybe Kennedy itself, but I still feel disheartened about your words about Ron Paul. Some of us.
No, I like Ron Paul. What I'm saying is Ron Paul didn't have the right theory.
You know, Bernie Sanders endorsed Hillary Clinton. Mitt Romney was not endorsed by Ron Paul.
I know, but Ron Paul needs to get his theory right. Mm. Perhaps he'll come and study. He's not a bad person, but he fucking endorsed Kennedy. His theory is off. Look, I don't know if you play baseball or golf or any of these sports. I play baseball. Okay. Mm. I still, you know, soccer, right? Or stickball. If you throw something just 1 degree off, the ball is going to go over there. Okay. These fine theoretical differences are very, very important, Kevin. Otherwise, we're going to end up in the same fucking place. We think we're fighting for someone and we end up in the same place. And engineers know this. Engineers, I have to build shit that works, man. I'm not, scientists can bullshit. Philosophers can bullshit. We as engineers, I make this microphone, man. It better freaking work, right? You hit the sound, it better work, right? I make a mouse, an optical mouse, it better work. All right. I build a bridge. It better not fall down. Engineers have to walk the walk. Lawyers don't have to walk the walk. So what I'm trying to tell you is that when we want to build a movement, well, yeah, Ron Paul may be a nice guy. You know, Trump, I've hung out with Trump. He may be a nice guy, but he's a fucker. It doesn't matter if they're nice people. The issue is, do they understand theory? You could have a nice carpenter. But if he doesn't know certain things and he doesn't know structural physics of how to properly, how much weight a beam can load, your house is going to fall apart. Okay. So I'm saying that we have to have that level of objectivity in this. And I've created and understood through 50 years a framework that helps us get there. Now, some people say, oh, yeah, I'm going to go back over here. But once you understand this, you will not get fooled again. You will have this critical eye. And I have to do the dirty fucking job, Kevin. I had to expose Trump in 2020, lost 20% of our audience. We had to expose fucking Kennedy, lost another 20%. People are like, oh, why don't you work with Kennedy and Trump? You guys would all work together. No, they're part. It's like I'm off the fucking plantation. They're still serving the master. It's like a fundamental irreconcilable difference. You see?
Mm.
So this is where people need to get to. And because our movement exists, people are getting. Some people are 2 years away. Some people, it's just a matter of fucking time. Because the viscosity of our movement and the viscosity of what I'm talking about is so sticky that people get it. When they get it, no matter how much they try to run from it, they can't.
Well, people are certainly more dissatisfied than ever with the two-party system. So if there's an optimal time in which to take advantage of it, I mean, it would be now.
Yeah. And what we're saying is it's not just a two-party system. The swarm is trying to think, oh, we're going to push this fool Kennedy.
Hmm. Well, reading just from the polls, I mean, the polls usually ask about the two-party system, and it's like 50%.
Yeah, but the overall, the American people, because how much they're handcuffed to working and basically surviving, I mean, 60% of the people in Massachusetts are independents, 10% are Republicans, 30% are Democrats, but the majority of people actually want truth, freedom, health. Hmm. They want to break from all these fuckers. You know, in Massachusetts, 5.7 million working, you know, people who can vote, only 2 million even bother voting.
Mm. Yeah, I know.
And out of that 2 million, 60% are independents. So, but that is because a movement like ours has not existed, right? This is why if I get in front of everyone, Kevin, people say, where the fuck has this guy been? So they must conceal me.
Well, don't cuss quite so much, Dr. Shiva. A little, I mean, I know you're very passionate about what you're saying.
Well, I'm going to tell you, you should cuss a lot. Learn how to cuss. Come to New Jersey. We'll teach you how to cuss.
Okay? I cuss often enough. I try to be.
Cuss at the right people. It's the right cuss word for the right person at the right time. Okay. Very important you do that. It's a medicine.
I feel like we're wrapping up here, Dr. Shiva.
Yeah. All right, Kevin, it was good speaking with you. Great question, man.
I really enjoyed talking to you quite a lot.
But please get involved, man. Get off your butt and talk to Mary and Barry. We're going to have her call you, but go help us get some signatures because every ballot that we get on, Kevin, is like stabbing the swarm right through their heart.
Okay.
And that's what we need to do.
That sounds good. I'm still doing my notice speeches out here, though.
Well, keep doing that, man.
Yeah, I mean, just to wake people up. I mean, I don't expect to get NOTA into awesome. Office or anything, but just to wake people up and... I do talk about Zionism inside there. Do talk about?
Yeah, get one of these bumper stickers. If you know, this is just about.
All right, I will.
Be enslaved, beyond left and right.
I like that. Right. Maybe your camp can send me one.
Yeah, well, just talk to Marianne. I mean, we have a whole group there. Bruce Padmore, Marianne Barry, connect with them.
Great.
Okay.
I appreciate it a lot, Dr. Shiva.
All right, Kevin, man. Be well.
Nice talking with you.
Be well. Very nice speaking with you. Bye bye. All right, everyone. That was Kevin. I enjoyed speaking with him. And I'm going to end by, again, repeating over and over and over again, go get a bumper sticker, ShivaForPresident.com. This is how all of you can help, all right? Go to Shiva for President, volunteer, donate. If you donate, you get lots of books, you get training, you get access to the entire Truth, Freedom, and Health program if you're interested so you can become a warrior scholar. Go donate, become part of this movement, but get off your butt. There's no one coming to save us. We have to do it. And we have to elect leaders like me, bottoms up, we're one of us, not look to them. Forget what they say. Look at their history of their lives, what they've done, and you find out they're all scumbags, okay? So, kindly use the right curse word at the right time to expose these fools. And let me finish by playing our video.
Who would have ever thought I'd be running for president of the United States of America? I was born a low-caste untouchable in India's caste system, a system of aristocracy, oppression, and racism. My name is Dr. Shiva Ayyadure. I'm an MIT PhD, a Fulbright scholar, a scientist, engineer, entrepreneur, and inventor. My family and I left India to come to America on my 7th birthday. I grew up in the working class neighborhoods of New Jersey, playing baseball, mowing lawns, painting houses, and coding software. My friends and neighbors were blacks, Italians, Irish, people of all races. As a 14-year-old, I wrote 50,000 lines of software code to create the world's first email system. And was awarded the first U.S. copyright for email, recognizing me as its official inventor at a time when copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I did that long before I ever came to MIT, revealing that big innovations can occur anytime, any place, by anybody. Growing up, I saw politicians dividing us by race and religion in both America and India to have us fighting each other while they remained safe in their gated communities and in their playgrounds of Hollywood, Martha's Vineyard, and Silicon Valley. I'm a fighter. I fought racism and exposed their imperialist wars, fought for workers and put my life on the line against global corruption. I never wanted to run for political office. All that changed when I saw working Americans as never before being duped by the establishment and the not so obvious establishment. Across left and right, we were being sold out and made to forget why we came to America and why America existed. Lawyers, academics, billionaires, celebrities and politicians, elites, Clintons, Kennedys, Bidens, Obamas, Bushes, black and white have hijacked America. They printed trillions for their friends. They delivered crumbling infrastructure, corruption and racism. They've transferred trillions to themselves, dividing black and white, fear-mongering and fake science. Lockdowns and censorship, dirty air, food and water, pushing drugs upon us, making us sicker. We've been sold out. One set of rules for them and another for us. We deserve a warrior with a history of courage in putting everything on the line for you, who believes in you, not them, who has created a movement bottoms up for truth, freedom, health. I've exposed their lies at the right time, never waiting until it was popular. I've exposed their false gods who exist to lead you back to them. I've exposed their fake science of lockdowns and masking and provided you solutions to fight them and win and protect your immune system, saving millions. I exposed Fauci, galvanized the Fire Fauci campaign when others remained silent. When they stole our election, we sued the government and Twitter in our historic 2020 federal lawsuit, exposing in bare view the government and big tech censorship infrastructure, the unholy alliance between government and social media companies. Where was Elon and his grifters? They stood by the sidelines and did nothing. They did not use their megaphones to help us when it could have made a big difference. Now our movement grows for truth, freedom, health, independent of all of them. Every day, millions are learning the science of systems, the knowledge the elites do not want you to have, so you may learn how to think, stand up, and fight, independent of the establishment of left and right and their fake heroes. Now it's time for you to join the movement to win back America, to win back truth, win back freedom, win back your health. That's why I'm running for president of the United States. This race is about you. This race is about truth, freedom, health versus power, profit, control. We've had enough. They think we'll fall in line and vote again for their lawyers, celebrities, billionaires, and chosen ones from above. We choose our heroes from below, from the rank and file, who do what is right at the right time, not when it's convenient and popular. They can never represent us. What America needs is a movement by the working people, for the working people, who are educated, organized, decentralized, and fight for independence from their systems of control. And that movement exists. It's ready for you. We don't need them. We need us to go bottoms up, neighbor to neighbor. My journey, your journey, are all the same. It's our time. It's time we had one of us. It's time to win back truth, freedom, health, to win back America. Be part of this historic movement all the way to our victory on November 5th, 2024. If you're an American citizen, pledge your vote now for Dr. Shivaya Duray, the independent candidate for U.S. president. No matter where you live, you can be a part of this. Volunteer as little as 20 minutes a day. Don't delay. This is Dr. Shivaya Duray, and I approve this message, paid for by Dr. Shiva for president.
All right, everyone, come to our open house right here. Every Thursdays at 11 a.m. or 8 p.m., go to vashiva.com/orientation. Then we do our town hall. You can go to Shiva for president, volunteer and donate, but you're also welcome to come to our town hall that we do at 8 p.m. every Thursdays, shivaforpresident.com/town hall. So get involved, get involved, get involved. You have no other excuse. If you made it this far, you'll meet some amazing people. Be well, be the light. Thank you. We need to build a bottoms up movement. Go to shivaforpresident.com and volunteer.